Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. This is a request that came in, and as I've said, I'm very happy to take requests from anybody, and I've had two or three requests recently. But this one is a really interesting one. It's something close to my heart and my own research, it must be said. It's the science of personalised cancer treatment. Now, there's a mouthful for you. So what's happening in cancer research, and I've covered this before to some extent, is there have been huge advances, really, in the treating of cancer through the immune system. And we're not there yet, let's make that clear. But there has been progress, especially in the past, I suppose, 5, 6, 7 years. The trick really became, and I guess it must be 10, 12 years ago now, to get the immune system going to attack a tumour. Instead of activating the immune system, instead you took the brake off. Now there's the thing, and I've spoken about this before, I guess. So the old idea was get the immune system to work harder, I suppose. But the trouble with that is it's very hard to control, and there were side effects if your immune system is out of control. But a guy called Jim Allison gets the credit for this. He said, no, there's brakes on the immune system. What if we stop the brake going on? And it was a kind of interesting idea. And that was the first breakthrough, really, because these things called checkpoint inhibitors were developed partly by Jim and by many others. And the checkpoint is the name for the break on the immune system. It's a bit like a barrier comes down and the immune system can't get into the tumour. If you stop the barrier coming down, now the immune system goes in. Stop the checkpoint coming down, I guess, is the idea. And now the immune system can flood into the tumour and use its wonderful weapons to kill the tumour. And this was always around as an idea, even 100 years ago. Could we mobilise the immune system to fight tumours? Because tumours are seen as alien by the body. We know, in fact, that the immune system is always attacking tumours. Every day, a little tumour might develop in all of us, and the immune system eliminates it, and that was shown a good few years ago now. So the notion of getting the immune system to do that in a really effective way was there, and these checkpoint inhibitors are now seen as a big breakthrough. And in fact, some of the numbers are striking. There are some people who respond very well to them and effectively are cured, which, of course, is sort of a bit of a controversial word to use, but certainly some people do respond very well to checkpoint blockade. Some respond and the cancer might come back and then they get treated again, but even still, that's a good thing. But really, there's been progress here. The overall response rate, we call this, by the way, is 20, 30, 40%, say for lung cancer, for instance, or other types of cancer like prostate, as well as a few cancers can be treated in this way. The big one, though, is melanoma. And again, they're getting 20, 30% response rates here. Now, again, it's not 100%. You'd love that to go up even higher. But still, it's progress. And that progress has led many drug companies to get involved. Many new biotech companies are doing this as well. And there's optimism now that we might see even more progress. Now, that's the background. And I've spoken about this before. But the latest stuff, and I guess the person who suggested this wanted me to cover this that was in the news a lot, it's a vaccine. And again, the idea there always was, could we get a vaccine for cancer? Now, imagine that if I could give you a vaccine to stop you developing cancer, just like it can stop you getting infectious diseases, like the famous COVID, for instance, or measles or whatever. What if we got a vaccine for cancer? And that's what this is achieving. And it can be used therapeutically, which means the cancer starts and then you give the vaccine. And that gets the immune system going, of course. Or you could use the vaccine to stop you getting cancer in the first place. And you may have heard of HPV. That's human papillomavirus. That's a virus that causes cancer. It causes cervical cancer. You can vaccinate against that. And in fact, there's been huge evidence that this really works. There's talk in the UK, I saw recently, this could wipe out cervical cancer because you're going to wipe out human papillomavirus. It'd be tremendous. And we wouldn't see any more cervical cancer. And remember, before that vaccine, if a woman was diagnosed with cervical, that was awful. That was a death sentence. And yet now we can vaccinate against the virus that causes that cancer. Now, the trouble is most cancers in humans aren't caused by viruses. If they were, to be a bit simpler, I suppose. This is something a bit different. This is using the tumour itself to form the vaccine, is the idea. In other words, can you take a crushed up tumour, show it to the immune system, that trains the immune system now to hunt down the tumour, just like it was a virus, and to kill that tumour. And again, that's an idea that's been kicking around for quite a while. It hasn't really worked in spite of much effort. And by the way, it's a soul destroying thing. I know many people have worked in this area and all their trials have failed, trying different things. But now we're seeing progress, and this is the story I want to tell you about today. And it's a phase 3 trial. Now, that tells you something, because phase three is the last phase of these clinical trials. It means the phase two worked, actually. And the phase three is an even bigger trial. And now this phase three trial against melanoma has started in the UK. Now, remember, it's melanoma we're talking about. This is a type of skin cancer. I guess people will be very familiar with it. UV light from sunlight can cause the cells in your skin to become cancerous. The UV is causing a mutation, actually, in the DNA in the skin cells. And that mutation turns that skin cell into a cancer cell. And it can form those black spots that we'll all be familiar with, that we're told to look out for. Very important. And that won't kill you, because skin cancer itself isn't as if it's going to kill you. The trouble is, it spreads to other parts of your body, into your lungs, into your liver. It's called metastases. And that's what actually ends up to be the reason for people dying of melanoma. And now, is there a vaccine to stop melanoma? Now, here's the detail on this. It's actually based on RNA. So just like the COVID vaccines were RNA-based, these are RNA-based vaccines. And in fact, we see this as a kind of a dividend from the world of COVID. You can use RNA now in a vaccine against cancer. And we're seeing this trial. It's underway at the moment. Now, in Ireland, 1,200 people per year die of melanoma. Globally, 132,000 die of melanoma. So again, you can see here, the need is great to come up with new ways of stopping it, I guess. The current treatments are things like surgery, cut out the, obviously the melanoma can be cut out surgically, and hence we need to watch out for that in our skin. If it has spread though, radiotherapy and chemotherapy is used, and that's used to treat these metastases. You know, these things work a little bit, but before the latest advances, it was still a pretty serious cancer that had a high mortality rate. Now, the phase two trial showed you could decrease the risk of cancer returning in people given this vaccine. That was the key endpoint from the phase two trial. In other words, they were given various treatments, and then if they were given this vaccine on top, it decreased the risk of the cancer returning, which was good to see. And in fact, the overall effect was decrease of 50%, which is a really big effect. In other words, you're decreasing the risk of the cancer recurring by half in people, and that was a great result to see. And also death, because obviously the cancer can recur and then cause a fatality, and this approach decreased the risk of that by half. Now, if I'm going to decrease your risk of dying by half of anything, that's a really big advance, isn't it? That was the phase two trial. Now, what's a phase two trial? It's hundreds of patients, usually 100-300 patients are tested. If they get a signal, they then do a phase three, and that's a lot more patients. And in this particular case, they're going to treat 1,200, or it's going to be over 1,000 people are going to be treated in this phase three of the trial, if not even more. And that's a really good number to think about, right? In other words, the phase two is done on a smaller number of people. Part of the reason for this is it's expensive and you can't do a massive trial. They see an effect in a couple of hundred people, then they'll do the phase three, which will be thousands of people, really. And as we speak, they're recruiting, you know, multiples of thousands of people for this trial. Now, what is it? What is the vaccine that we're talking about? Well, this is where it gets really even more exciting. It's personalized to the patient with the melanoma. Now, what do I mean by personalized? Well, if we say we take 10 people who've got melanoma, they've all got slightly different mutations. Now, as I mentioned, the UV light is the causative thing that causes these mutations to happen. But it turns out we've all got slightly different mutations. Now, some overlap between us. So, for example, one person might share some mutations with another, but they'll also have unique mutations. And what they're doing amazingly is they're sequencing the DNA in a person's tumour and they're spotting where the mutations are. And they're taking 34, that's the number they've chosen, what are called neoantigens. Now, what's a neoantigen? There's a mouthful for you. A neoantigen is a protein that is mutated in the tumour to form a new antigen. Now, the word antigen is a word that we use in immunology. It's the thing the immune system often sees. So they've taken, say, someone with a melanoma, they've sequenced the DNA, and they've spotted 34 differences in the DNA in those people. And those DNA differences make 34 proteins that are tumour-associated proteins. They're only in the cancerous state. The mutations have changed the DNA, and now the protein is different. And they're taking 34 neoantigens per patient, right? And they're making RNA versions of those. Now, remember, DNA makes RNA, and the RNA makes protein. So now you're taking 34 different RNA molecules, and those RNA molecules are based on the mutations in the DNA, and that's what's in the vaccine. Now, of course, those RNA molecules when injected into someone, will turn into proteins, and now the immune system sees those proteins, and remember, those are the mutant proteins in the tumour. So if I do that again, because I know it's a bit complicated, the DNA gets mutated. That DNA codes for RNA. Those RNA molecules are carrying the mutant, and the RNA now makes the protein, and the protein is now mutated based on this genetic code, and those are the things that are in the tumour. And now you show those RNA molecules to the body, you make the proteins, and the immune system now recognises those proteins and now hunts down the tumour. That's the really clever thing that's done here. Now, again, the analogy with COVID is there just to make it clear as well. In the case of COVID, we took the RNA for the spike protein. And as you all may remember, the virus has these spikes around the outside. The RNA made the spike. That was in your body. The immune system could now recognise the spike. And when the real bad guy arrived with all the spikes on it, the immune system could eliminate that virus. And the analogy I've often used is, it's like a bad guy rides into town. You don't show the immune system the bad guy because he's very dangerous. Instead, you show the sheriff the black hat on the bad guy. And now when the real bad guy turns up, the sheriff recognises the black hat and kills the bad guy. In this case, the bad guy is the tumour, and you're showing 34 different black hats, as it were, slightly different hats, I suppose is the way to think of it, and that trains the immune system now to hunt down those bad guys and kill them, in this case being the tumour. Isn't that amazing? So it's totally personalised. And that makes it very, very effective. And in fact, one set may not allow, may not be, it might work on one person, but not in the next. Because the other person is a different set of black hats, if you know what I mean. Different shapes and sizes, I suppose, is the way to think of it. So it's highly personalised. And they reckon that's why it's worked. The reason why it worked in the phase two was they took a patient, got the RNA that was from the tumour, showed the immune system those RNA molecules making protein, and now the immune system could hunt down that tumour and decrease the risk of death by half. Because in those people who responded, the immune system could now recognise the marks on the tumour, if you will, the tumour neoantigens, and kill that tumour. And now the phase three has begun. Now they're giving it in combination with the checkpoint inhibitor Keytruda, and that's one of these things that stops the checkpoint coming down. And isn't that a great idea? So in other words, you're training the immune system to see the tumours and then stopping the checkpoint coming down. So the immune system is now flooding into that tumour, hunting down those bad cells and killing those tumour cells. And that's why half the people were showing survival 3 years it was actually after the treatment. So it's extremely clever if you think about it for a minute, because not only are you allowing the immune system to rush in, but you've trained the immune system now through the vaccine using these 34 RNA molecules in the person to really work against that tumour. And remember, all vaccines do is they train the immune system to see some of these bad things, and the bad things might be in a virus, they might be in a bacteria or in a tumour, and it's highly personalised per patient. And of course this is backed by Moderna, who were the company who made one of the COVID vaccines, and Merck Sharp and Dohme, they've got the Keytruda, and they've joined forces now with this, and 1,000 patients initially will be recruited with melanoma. Now the plan is they're recruiting like mad. It's being organised by University College London Hospitals in London. Lots of patients are being recruited. And they're going to go beyond this into lung, bladder and kidney. They've said they're the next three that they're going to start recruitment for. Now, here's the VISTA. Now, remember, we don't want to get too excited because it is a phase three and it needs to prove itself. And some things fail in phase three. They can fail because it doesn't work in a lot of people. They can fail because of side effects. So still, we got to watch this and be careful, I suppose, not to overclaim it. But certainly, can you imagine for a minute, you go to your doctor, you're diagnosed with lung cancer or bladder cancer or kidney cancer or melanoma. Your doctor takes a sample of the tumour, identifies what's wrong in that tumour, in terms of proteins being different, makes RNA molecules to be made in your body to allow the immune system to recognise that tumour, injects that in, the immune system is now trained, the checkpoint is stopped from coming down, and the immune cells rush in and kill that tumour, and you survive. The bottom line is 50% are surviving there in that phase two trial. Of course, the goal would be to get up to 100%, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be lovely if everybody could survive? Now, there seems to be differences, and it's hard to say why only 50% are responding. But that's what this trial is trying to test. It's a very sophisticated, highly scientific way to treat cancer. So instead of giving someone chemo, which is like a hammer blow, and can cause all kinds of side effects and not work on many people. The chemo is trying to kill the tumour, by the way, as a poison. The radiotherapy is trying to burn the tumour. These in the future will be seen as very crude ways to treat cancer. Instead, it's tailor-made per person, it's highly personalised, and now we get the responses that we're looking for. So it just shows you how science has come on. And the truth is, the RNA vaccines that we use for COVID, those companies like Moderna and BioNTech were interested in cancer anyway. And they were working on cancer before COVID. And now here we see this coming true, I guess, at least in terms of clinical trials and the testing of it in the case of melanoma. So we're optimistic, because the phase two worked, that the phase three should also work as well. And as I say, the optimism has never been higher for the using the immune system to kill cancer. And of course, this highly personalized cancer treatment will ultimately be the way to go. So one to watch. Let's keep our fingers crossed that this phase three trial works. And the last thing to mention is they're using artificial intelligence, of course, to read the DNA and to predict these neoantigens. You need AI to help. So again, it really is sort of futuristic, isn't it? AI combined with these different approaches. And finally, cancer may eventually become a disease that's treatable or preventable using these approaches. And that's the science of personalised cancer treatment. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And thanks for that request that came in. And of course, my podcast is available for download every Thursday and is a News Talk production.